Good afternoon. It is a Thursday, August 23rd, 2018. 15 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the Now program. Scott Spears along with you for the ride today. And we've got a great program today because we're going to sort through a lot of very interesting stuff going on in the world today. I do want to give you a quick programming note that we were supposed to have Lulu Roman, a famous singer, probably best remembered for her work on Hee Haw, on today at 1:10. That interview will now be on Monday at 1:10, because with all the news political this week and with Urban Meyer, we wanted to invite legendary sports analyst and reporter, probably remembered best as the lead boxing analyst on HBO, Larry Merchant, will be on next hour. To discuss everything going on in the sports world, everything going on in the political world. But Lulu Roman will be on next Monday at 1:10. Now, Friday, tomorrow, from 11:10 a.m. until 1 p.m. during our weekly roundtable discussion, wrap-up of the week's events, we will be joined by the 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow, live in studio tomorrow to get her reaction with everything that's been going on. Now, joining us this hour is a voice you normally hear every Monday morning here on WWGH Radio at 10:10 a.m. on Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam Lepp. He has his own website, theprogressiveprofessor.com. He is an author, historian, political scientist, and what could not be a better time to have him on than right now, Dr. Ronald Fineman. Dr. Fineman, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Scott. How are you doing?
Oh, doing good. It's a week like no other, I think, in the history of the United States. I think the only week that may conquer this one is the week when Nixon resigned.
Yes, and I think that the events of this week make it much more likely, not around the corner, but that indeed Donald Trump will end up resigning.
What do you think has put that in motion?
Well, the events of 2 days ago, obviously, with Paul Manafort being convicted and Michael Cohen pleading guilty, plus everything else that's been going on, and the president's unraveling more than ever every day. And I see that today he was saying that if he was to leave the White House, the stock market would crash. And really, I think it's preposterous. But honestly, at this point, even if it crashed temporarily, the nation needs him out of office because he's a menace to the country and the world.
Now, the Paul Manafort thing is kind of interesting. Now, everything Paul Manafort was convicted on, the 8 counts, really had nothing to do at all with President Trump. Now, the interesting thing there is after the conviction came down, Manafort's attorney said he's weighing all his options. And then yesterday, in a lot of the newspapers, there are 3 options. Number 1, cooperate with Mueller. Number 2, pardon by Trump. Or number 3, life in prison. Now, I'm guessing he's not going to take door number 3.
Of course not.
So, which door do you... Because it's a game of chicken right now, in my opinion. I don't think Trump wants to pardon him because of how it'll look, but if he doesn't pardon him quick, Manafort might start working with Mueller, which I don't think Trump wants. So, what do you think's going to happen?
oh boy, trying to figure out what will happen. You know, it's hard to tell with Trump. To me, although technically he could pardon Manafort, I think it would be one of the most outrageous pardons ever, and I think it's unjustifiable, and I think maybe there needs to be consideration of changing some of the presidential power so that a president cannot be abusive in the, you know, in the use of the pardon power. My gut feeling is, however, that Manafort realizes that Trump is unreliable, that he abandons everybody, that he kicks everybody under the bus, as the saying goes, that he turns on Michael Cohen, who has always done his dirty deeds for 17 years, and he says 10 years. He has no memory even of how long, because he basically uses people and spits them out. I'm talking about Trump. And I think Manafort, I believe, will work with Mueller, and I think that there's a lot more to Manafort than just what he was convicted on. He's obviously involved with the Ukrainian government in the past, which is connected, at least the past government, to the Russian government, and there's been a lot of collusion there between him and these people in Eastern Europe, and I think it's going to be connected over time with patience to Donald Trump and be a good reason to remove him from office.
Well, here's the interesting thing, and I don't have an answer to this question, because we have to be fair to President Trump. He is the president. Now, he knew Manafort was on trial, and he certainly knew that Michael Cohen's office had been raided. And he also knew that Lanny Davis had released this tape a couple weeks ago on the Cuomo show on CNN. So he knew that Cohen was no longer on his side, and he knew that Manafort was on trial. Why didn't President Trump go in and pardon them before any of this would have happened if he's guilty?
Well, ordinarily, you're not supposed to pardon someone before trial. I mean, it's supposed to be after the fact. I know, of course, with Joe Arpaio, he did pardon him, the president, and that was outrageous, and now he's running for the Senate, but apparently in third place in the Republican primary. We'll see after the 28th of August if he's a nominee. I think the problem with Trump is that he lives in an alternate universe, and he doesn't really get what's going on around him. His attorneys, including Rudy Giuliani, are horrible, absolutely terrible advice they give him. He's also disposed of many attorneys already. And it seems to me that he doesn't get it, that he is not going to be the emperor of the world until he dies, as I think he still thinks he will be. And I think he's got to be brought down a peg, and he's got to face the music, as we would say. And I think it's going to happen, and I think that when the time comes, and I believe there will be an indictment of his son, Donald Jr., and possibly an indictment of his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, it's going to put him into a very difficult position. And I think at that point, he will try to make some kind of a deal to resign and somehow, hopefully, from his viewpoint, save his son and son-in-law. More his son. He probably doesn't care about his son-in-law, except it's Ivanka's husband, but certainly his son. So I think resignation, even though people said Nixon wouldn't resign, he did. And at this point, I think that's going to come. But again, not tomorrow. Obviously, it's going to drag out, and it's going to undermine our domestic and foreign policy for quite a while yet. But I think it will happen.
Yeah, but Dr. Feinman, obviously, everything happened on Tuesday. The Republican Congress and the Republican Senate have done nothing. They're not going to move to impeach him based on what we know. So would the pardons of Cohen and Manafort before the trials, would they have meant anything? Would the Congress have done anything?
Well, as I just wrote this morning, the Republican Party has no shame. I think they're going to destroy themselves. I think they already have actually destroyed themselves as a political party. And I think by 2019, which is around the corner, I think we should say they're dead on arrival, and a new conservative, mainstream conservative party, not using that name, not besmirching the reputation of Lincoln and Teddy Roosevelt and Ronald Reagan and Dwight D. Eisenhower and Robert La Follette and so many, Robert La Follette Sr. And so many other people, Nelson Rockefeller and others, I think is going to have to come about, because this party has lost all of its credibility, and it's not going to do very well I cannot imagine it will do well in the midterms. If they do, it's going to be suspicious, and the thought that there has been some collusion with either Russia or Iran or some other place, because I can't imagine that the minority of people who like Trump and our Republicans are going to all stay with him and with the Republican Party, with everything that's gone on, and there will be more turnout among those people who did not turn out enough in 2016, minorities, women, young people, suburbanites, and I just think there's going to be a real massive wave against the Republican Party, but we'll see, of course, in November.
Well, that being said, would there be a breaking point, in your opinion, between now and November where the Republicans would vote to impeach him?
Well, first of all, to vote to impeach takes hearings. It has to first be introduced, and it doesn't happen overnight. You know, it's not like you can say, let's impeach him, and then 2 days from now he's impeached. But I think that if he started to show, and I think he already has shown, signs of mental disability, mental craziness, and if it gets more dangerous and he provokes us into, God forbid, a war, or tries to use nuclear weapons, which I think the military would not follow his lead. I think they would refuse to follow it, because already the intelligence, military, and diplomatic people know the president's not quite all there mentally, and they're being quiet, although they're protesting what he just did recently with taking away security clearances. But I do think something like that would lead to it, but we've been lucky so far that no major international crisis has risen and no major terrorist attack like September 11th has occurred. But I am worried that if, God forbid, that happens, no matter who is responsible for a September 11th kind of event, that he could declare or try to declare martial law and suspend the Bill of Rights, and that should bring people out into the streets. It should not be allowed to occur. That would be outrageous. It's the beginning of a dictatorship.
Now, the Michael Cohen thing from Tuesday was a lot more interesting when it came to Trump, because he implicated President Trump as the person who directed him to make these payments to McDougal and Daniels. The president doesn't seem to be denying that he did it. On Fox and Friends this morning, he said he paid out of his own pocket. Rudy Giuliani, his attorney, said he paid Michael Cohen back.
After both of them lied earlier about that.
But they're not denying it now. But it doesn't seem to mean anything at this point.
Because, well, the thing is, I don't remember who said it on cable news, but there's always going to be, even with Richard Nixon, it was like 26% behind him when he resigned. You're always going to have a base, 25, 30, 35, 37, 38%. No matter what happens, they're going to back someone. And I'm going to make the comparison, and I'm not saying they're the same, but then when Bill Clinton had the sex scandal and the whole thing going on, I did not believe he should be impeached. I thought he should resign over it. But there was that certain percentage that would say, oh, the economy's great, so who cares? And they didn't care, and that's what's happening now. And I don't think the economy should be the issue. It should be that if a person abuses his power and is doing something that's wrong, he should be removed. And I would not necessarily say the same way Bill Clinton. I did not think he should have been impeached, but I do think that we have to see the differences, and the economy is not the whole thing. I want to point out that Adolf Hitler revived the economy in Germany, but that was not enough reason to say, hey, he's all right. And I do think that's the problem. People go by money only, and money is not the whole issue. It's also a question of our freedom, our basic civil rights and civil liberties. And I am worried that that could be suspended if we had a real or imagined, meaning created, because who knows, terrorist attack.
But, you know, Trump has to know what Manafort and Cohen know. Certainly Cohen. Trump has to know what Cohen knows. So if he knows what he knows, and it's this big bad thing, why does he just let Cohen keep going out there and doing things when, as president, he could stop it?
Because I don't think he fully understands what's going on around him. I think he has a bad memory, and I think he doesn't really get it. And I think the whole thing started when he fired Comey. If he had not fired Comey, things might have been very different. And, you know, he created his own disaster and the creation of Robert Mueller. He created his own disaster putting Jeff Sessions in a position where he couldn't be involved in it and had to recuse himself. So really, he's his own worst enemy, the president.
Well, it's interesting because we learned this week that the DNC was about to be hacked again. They caught it this time, and apparently this foreign entity that was trying to hack into the DNC for this November's elections were trying to get into the voter rolls. Now, again, this isn't buying Facebook ads. This isn't trying to change people's opinions. They're trying to get into the voter rolls. What's your read on that?
I don't know, but it does make me worry that whatever happens in November, there'll be accusations by those who lose, whichever side, that it's fixed. And it could be that there could be manipulation that could favor the Democrats. I don't believe that, but it could be, and also the Republicans. So we cannot feel, at this point, secure that the results we will learn in November are the results. And it is very worrisome, because we undermine democracy, the whole idea that people vote and it matters, then what is left?
Well, here's something I asked. We had Eleanor Clift on yesterday.
And, yes, wonderful lady.
Yeah, and in the last indictment from Mueller, he said in Mueller's indictment that the voter rolls in 39 states were hacked into in 2016, and over 500,000 people's information was compromised. Now, how does Mueller know that? See, because we've always heard no votes were changed, no voting machines were changed. How would you know that voter rolls were hacked into and 500,000 people's information was compromised if you didn't have anything done, if they just hacked into them?
Well, I'm not a technical expert, but I have thought from the beginning those close election results in Michigan, like 10,000, Wisconsin, 22,000, and Pennsylvania, I think it was 48,000, a total of about 78,000 votes. And also in Florida, where early on, early voting, you know, they had indicated Hillary Clinton was way ahead. And then on election day, supposedly almost everybody voted for Trump and put him over the top. Those states are real. I'm not so sure about Ohio, but those four states, I think, are very, very subjective as far as believing that those results are real. And if those four states had not had the results, Hillary Clinton would be in the White House finishing her second year right now.
So if we find out, because here's another thing. What more could be in the Mueller probe? We have seen the indictment of just about everybody who could be indicted, except the president, who you can't indict.
But also his son and his son-in-law.
Son and son-in-law. So at this point, what more could there be? We know Russia interfered. We know they targeted states through Facebook. We know they got in the voter rolls. We know it was 39 states. We know 500,000 voters were compromised. What more could there be?
Well, there are other associates of the president who might be facing an indictment as well. You know, some people that have been mentioned here and there that are suspects. So I think there are more indictments to come. But honestly, it's a question of how long is it going to be till the Mueller investigation ends. Will it be ending before the election, like in September, or will it drag beyond? And there's no way to know, but the Watergate investigation went on much longer than this. So we have to realize that patience is prudence.
Well, that is true, but I guess what I'm saying is, as far as acts being done, what really more could they say about the 2016 election? Because it's my understanding that anything outside of collusion with Russia has been handed off to another court, like Virginia with Paul Manafort and the Southern District of New York with Cohen. So what more possibly could have been done that we don't know about, that we already know about? Because we're almost, aside from changing votes, what more would we need to know?
Well, I think more about the obstruction of justice and abuse of power, because it's clear the president, from the beginning, has been using a lot of people to and pushing them to do what he wants, and yet claims he has no knowledge. So I think there's a very strong case, and they want to make it as strong as possible. But again, the problem is that the Republicans are not willing to do anything about it. If the Democrats come in, they will likely move toward impeachment. But even with impeachment, to get a two-thirds vote for conviction in the Senate and removal is just about impossible, unless the president is shown to be totally insane, let's say, and maybe the vice president and the cabinet under the 25th Amendment intervene. But it's a frustrating situation. But I think the pressure is going to grow on him, and his son is going to get involved, and probably his son-in-law, and he will make some kind of a deal, to have himself resign and avoid or lessen prosecution on them.
Do you think that this is hurting him with Republican voters? It's hurting the Republican turnout this November?
I would think so, even though there is the loyal group. But there are those who voted for him because, well, I'm a Republican, so I should vote for him, but we're not thrilled by him. And I think particularly women are really turned off to him, you know, suburban women, educated women. And I think more racial minorities and more young people will certainly come out than did in 16 when they maybe were not too thrilled about Hillary Clinton. But I think they realize this is the beginning of the change toward the 2020 election. And also for the governorships, very important. If we have more governors who are elected or Democrats, right now there's only 16, the more governors that are in control, the more input they have to the reapportionment of seats in the state legislatures and in the House of Representatives after the census of 2020. And that is going to be crucial for the future of both parties. But in 2010, it was a gubernatorial year. 2020 will not be for most states. But in 2010, because Republicans did so well, they gained a great advantage in reapportioning the House seats, where we have many people who win. If you actually look, there were more total votes for Democrats, but they have fewer seats because of gerrymandering, and also in the state legislature. So it's important not just for the idea of Trump, but also for the reapportionment of state legislatures and U.S. House of Representatives, and trying to elect a Congress that will certainly take a different view on the issues that Trump has done so much damage on, like the environment, health care, education, and so many others.
If we get a Democratic House, and let's say we even get a Democratic Senate.
Unlikely on this Senate, I must say. Possibly, but unlikely.
Aren't we just going to have gridlock? If President
We have gridlock now.
Well, yeah, but
we need to move in some way toward change. So gridlock is going to continue, and I don't know really if anyone elected president can possibly overcome the deadlock. The only one I would think is possibly Joe Biden, because even though, of course, a Democrat, a lot of Republicans in Congress admire him, like him. Even Lindsey Graham has said, who doesn't like Joe? Now, of course, if Joe is president, it doesn't mean that everybody's going to go along with him, but I think there might be much more possibility of some cooperation, because he was good at crossing the aisle, even while vice president, and getting some help for President Obama.
Do you think President Trump could change if Democrats take office and start working with the Democrats? He hasn't had a whole lot of luck with the Republicans.
Well, he was a Democrat way back, but I would think that you wouldn't want to get into bed with him, as they would say symbolically. I think that it would not be a good thing, and I don't think you could trust that whatever he said would be real, and he's not going to change his policies that have done so much harm domestically and in foreign affairs. I mean, he's stuck in those now. It's a little late after 2 years to change your policies, and if you did, that would certainly make him look even more shady to people who backed him. Like, what's going on here? Suddenly you're cavorting with the Democrats? So, no, I think Trump had a chance when he got elected, despite everything he said and did in the campaign. He could have gone toward the Democratic side, you know, in the sense of going toward their viewpoints, but he didn't. So he made his bed and he has to lie in it.
But if there's one thing we know about President Trump, he does make deals. This is what we hear from him, that he's...
Well, he says he does, but actually many of his deals were bankruptcy. I wouldn't say he's that great a deal maker. It's in his own head more than reality.
Well, he could try.
Yes, but then it would really be tumult, because they're not going to certainly back him in 2020. They're out to defeat him, and the Republicans, well, I think there will be a Republican challenge anyway, whether it's Trump or Vice President Pence who succeeds him. I think, if I can say so, I think John Kasich, the outgoing governor of Ohio, absolutely will run. I think Senator Ben Sasse, S-A-S-S-E, of Nebraska, who's been a Trump critic before the election, will run, and he's a new generation, only in his mid-40s. And I think, honestly, the probable new senator from Utah, Mitt Romney, will probably try again. Why not? Others have tried, like Ronald Reagan, and come back. So I think it could be. We're going to have a very interesting Republican as well as Democratic race. And honestly, on the Democratic side, not everybody's going to run, but I've made up a list from reading and following, and it's silly. 54 people could possibly run. Of course, they're not all going to run, but at least 20 probably will originally announce. We're going to have a slew of announcements after November 6th.
But who are the front runners in this?
As far as the Democrats?
Yeah.
Well, I think right now, just by recognition, Joe Biden, of course, who heads most polls, and I think has the most support. But again, there's the issue of his age, as with Bernie Sanders. Actually, Sanders is a year old. He'll be 79 in 2020, and Biden will be 78. I think Joe Biden could unite the party more than Bernie Sanders, who's really not a Democrat. He joins and he leaves the party. But also Elizabeth Warren, who's more like Sanders, but in between Biden and Sanders, is another possibility. But there are others that people don't pay much attention to, but I have paid attention to. So like a new generation, you know, because even Elizabeth Warren will be 71, so she's not on the young side. I see a whole group of younger Democrats that I think should be looked at. If you want, I'll go through them.
Well, let's go back to that in a second. But on the Republican side, do you think Mitt Romney or John Kasich could...
Ben Sass, yeah.
Well, but I think Romney and Kasich have a... They're out there all the time right now. If they try to run, could they really primary a sitting president out of his party?
Well, if you look at history, no, because in 1912, Theodore Roosevelt challenged Taft, lost the nomination, then ran on the Progressive Party line, the Boomer's Party. In 1976, Reagan tried to stop Gerald Ford, failed. And of course, in the case of Taft, he lost. In the case of Ford, he lost. In 1980, Jimmy Carter was challenged by Ted Kennedy and Jerry Brown. He still won the nomination but lost the election. 1992, George H.W. Bush was challenged by Patrick Buchanan, still won the nomination, but indeed lost the election, of course, to Bill Clinton. So I think it probably would weaken the president or Pence as far as winning the election, but the odds of defeating either the president or vice president, going by history, is very highly unlikely, but it would still be, in my mind, although they wouldn't look at it this way, a service to weaken the president because he should not be reelected in this case. This is a lot different than Taft or Ford or Carter or Bush 1. And so, but I mean, I'm not saying they would do it for that, but I think it would be good to have a debate, and it could happen, but it would be, going by history, unlikely. I agree.
Now, on the other side, what about the young Kennedy?
Well, he's one of many. In fact, I'm going to have an article coming out next month on History News Network, and I've done a little bit on the Progressive Professor, that Joe Kennedy III will be 40 in 2020. Of course, he's a Kennedy, and he's been out front there. People might say, well, you can't elect a House member. Well, we've elected one, James A. Garfield, in 1880, unfortunately assassinated within a few months, but that doesn't mean that you have to look at it that way. But there's no reason why not. There's also Eric Swalwell of California, who's really said he's planning to run, and I think he's a very appealing candidate that's also there. So I think that's two. I also think the mayor of Los Angeles, Eric Garcetti, these are all young people in their 40s. Eric Garcetti, the mayor of L.A., after all, it's 3 million people. That's larger than all but 8 states in Los Angeles. I also think Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar, who's a little older, she'll be like 60, but that's still a lot younger, is another good person. And if I had to pick, as an outsider, my favorite at the moment, and who knows, I may change my mind, Connecticut Senator Chris Murphy. And one thing about Murphy, when I studied him and looked him up, I thought, oh, he's an Irish Catholic. No, he's an Irish Protestant. I found that interesting because I originally just think, oh, another New England Catholic like Kennedy, but he's an actually Irish Protestant. It's just funny because you think of Murphy as a Irish Catholic, but there can be Irish Protestants because of what Ireland has gone through historically. But I think Chris Murphy really stands out, and that's 5 people I would mention. Plus, I'd also mention Kamala Harris and Cory Booker, as well as 2 other good candidates who are also on the youngish side, late 40s, early 50s. That's like 7 people. So we're going to have at least 10 candidates, but we're also going to have others that I haven't mentioned. There's bound to be 15 to 20. They'll fall by the wayside after the Iowa caucuses, which is only really about 16 months away now, imagine that, or 17 months, and certainly by the New Hampshire primary. But I think there will be 15 to 20 announcing, and I would think probably more than the 3 I mentioned, more than Romney, more than Sass, and more than Kasich, probably Jeff Flake, who's leaving the Senate, will run, and Bob Corker, also leaving the Senate, will run, and maybe Ted Cruz will come back, and maybe Marco Rubio will come back. I certainly think that's a possibility. So we'll probably have quite a few, but I would think Kasich or Sass or possibly Romney would have a better chance of being serious.
Isn't one of the problems, though, since the advent of cable news heavy, cable news really came heavy into the election process in 1992, there has really only been one unknown who has gotten the nomination of the party, And that would have been Bill Clinton, the first year of really heavy cable news coverage of a presidential election.
I wouldn't say he was unknown. He had already been governor of Arkansas and spoken at the 88 convention and bored everybody to death and learned how to become a better orator after
right,
it.
Right.
So he wasn't unknown, but he was one of the five people that were running for the Democrats for the nomination in 92, yes.
But people thought that year it was going to be Cuomo or Jerry Brown. It wasn't Bill Clinton.
True, and I wish Cuomo had run, frankly, but he decided not to.
But all the other years...
Brown kept on running, but he never got anywhere,
right.
Yes.
And all the other years since then, even with Obama, he had given the keynote speech, he had been talked about a lot, Oprah Winfrey endorsed him, and he just eked out the win over Hillary Clinton in the primary. But we've got these older, we've got John Kerry, we've got John McCain, we've got Hillary Clinton, we've got
Al Gore,
Donald Trump, George W. Bush. You know, we don't, I don't know any unknown. They come out in the primaries, but nobody knows him in New Hampshire. That's what John Kasich said. John Kasich said he went to New Hampshire, and even after being a governor in Ohio and a panelist on Fox News, nobody knew him in New Hampshire. And Ben Sasse is going to have that problem. There, all these names that nobody knows right now.
Well, they're going to have to get out and get on more interviews on cable news and all the cable channels and go and spend a lot of time in Iowa and New Hampshire. And, you know, it'll take time, but I think the way the cable news and internet is now, everybody's going to get a lot more exposure, including, of course, any negatives about them. So, you know, you can't hide anything, and if you have any real scandals, I mean sex scandals, or major financial scandals, you probably should decide not to run because it's going to be exposed, no question.
Well, back to President Trump. Now, let's say, because clearly what I'm hearing from all Democrats is, even though what's happened this week has happened, they would not vote to impeach on this. They want to see the end of the Mueller report. Then they'll decide what they're going to do. Now, if the Mueller report shows that there was collusion and that votes were changed, I think President Trump is a goner at that point.
Well, he probably would not be ready to resign until he was pushed. And, of course, he's talked about he wants to be president for life. So, literally, it might have to be, and hate to say it, the Secret Service may have to physically withdraw him from the Oval Office. It's joked about, but I'm not sure he would ever agree to leave. But I think at the end, he would have to resign.
Well, yes. I think at this point, though, he's already saying the stock market would crash if he was impeached. So, impeachment's on his brain.
But there's worse things than that. The economy will recover, and everything should not be based on money alone. That's what I always say. We have to do what's good for the nation, not just good for the pocketbook.
Well, but again, if the Mueller report shows this, what do you do? Because, again, we've had this conversation before.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's getting closer and closer. But because Pence can't stay. If the election was colluded, you can't lay it all on Donald Trump's footsteps. And I always find it interesting. All these other people are indicted, and we talk about Trump's son and Trump's daughter and Trump's son-in-law, who all worked on the campaign.
Well, so did
Mike Pence. Nobody ever
Pence also knew about Mike Flynn, although he claimed he didn't. He was caught in a lie about Mike Flynn. Now, I think he is compromised. And I see him, standing behind Trump at every time Trump makes a speech. And I don't mean it to be a joke, but he's smiling and he has his head shaking like a bobblehead. You know, yes, yes. And I'm thinking, don't you have any guts, any cojones to speak up? And I know it's unusual, but Aaron Burr did it with Jefferson and Calhoun with Andrew Jackson. I know it's a long time ago, but he should have spoken up. And even if it seems like he's trying to grab power, he needed to speak up and make clear his differences. And I do think privately he does disagree. And his wife, Karen, apparently really despises, I've read, Trump because of his love life scandals. So, I mean, there's not, you know, but they're playing a game like this is the way for me to become president. But I think he's been compromised, and I think it could be that he'll be forced out, and it won't happen now. It'll probably happen after January, and that we could have, therefore, without a replacement under the 25th Amendment, we could have the Speaker of the House, whoever it would be, which could be Nancy Pelosi. Imagine that. And I've joked with some friends, imagine, those people didn't want Hillary Clinton. Do they really want Nancy Pelosi? Is that an improvement? And we laughed about it. Like, I'm not saying she's bad, but I think most people would say, you know, prefer Hillary to Nancy Pelosi, but we may end up with a woman president next year.
Well, it's very interesting because I think since we've talked last, I had Professor Alan Lichtman on, who's written the book.
Yes, I know who he is. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. He's written the book for the impeachment of Trump. And I asked him, I said, is it out of the realm that votes were changed? And he said no. Knowing what we know now, it is not out of the realm that votes were possibly changed. And I said, okay, well, if votes were changed, then what happens? And he said that there is precedent that an election could be overturned with a court case.
Well, that's been done, I think, on the city level. There's been redoing of elections, like the mayor of Miami. I think it was some position. I think it was mayor of Miami. They had to hold another election, but it's never been done on the national level. It's been done on the Senate level if there's too close a result and they were not able, because it was really close vote and they weren't sure, they've sometimes had a recount or had another election. But the point that you made in the on and off over the last year and a half, and I brought it up on Facebook and I wrote you about it this week, is in theory, I think justice, but it doesn't mean justice works that way, should be that if it could be shown in the next few months that the election was fixed and that Hillary Clinton really won, I would, of course, say, and of course most people say I'm nuts, that Hillary Clinton should be installed as president by January 20th, 2019. So it would be 2 years. It would be her term in the second half of the term, and Tim Kaine would be vice president. But again, there is nothing legal, and only a court intervention, which would have to happen very soon or at any point. And if we're going to have Kavanaugh on the court, it looks like that will never happen anyway with a Republican court. So it's a nice thought for those who think it's justice, but I don't know if it would happen, but that's what you were talking about a number of times we were speaking about.
Well, here's what I think will happen. I'm not sure that Kavanaugh is a slam dunk yet. I know they're going to try to run it through, but if more things keep leaking, and the Cohen thing is one of those things that keeps leaking, I'm not sure that that's a slam dunk yet. We'll have to wait and see. And if the Mueller report comes out next month, I'm really not sure that it's a slam dunk then. So the Kavanaugh thing is not a surefire thing, in my opinion. And even with him on the court, to be honest with you, if you took a case from a Republican, Robert Mueller, to the court and said that the election results were fixed, I'm not so sure that Kavanaugh would vote against that. I don't think that is a political move. I think, because he's going to get Nancy Pelosi anyway. I mean, what difference does it make? So I'm not sure that the Supreme Court would rule that. I believe that's one of those cases where the Supreme Court would rule unanimously, because I'm not sure that's a political issue.
So it'd be like U.S. versus Richard Nixon, 8-0 vote.
Yes, yes.
1974, yes. I can't think of his name, only the most recent appointment, Rehnquist, that's right, who became later Chief Justice. Only Rehnquist did not get involved because he was in the Justice Department under Nixon, so he actually recused himself, but it was an 8-0 vote, yes.
Because what would the judges, being a political scholar, what would the judges' argument be for not overturning it? I mean, what could they even say? Say that's not the way we do things? I mean, that'd be an awful hard argument to make.
Yes, and also as I'm thinking here now, I'm assuming the four so-called Democrats on the, you know, picked by Clinton and Obama, and I think John Roberts, who sometimes surprises us, sometimes is not conservative. I think that alone would make it possibly a 5-4 vote. And of course, if Kennedy had still been there, I think it would have been a 6-4 vote, but of course, he's not there. So I think maybe very likely they would, you know, declare that it's time to install the so-called winner, the real winner of the election, but I don't know. It's like the kind of thing you would imagine could only be in a movie, right?
Because here's what I think will happen. So far, I think we're in a movie. We're the 4 o'clock hour on Tuesday. Everything blew up. But here's what I think's gonna. Here's what I think. If the votes were changed, I think two Supreme Court justice appointments weighed on that decision, and I think that Pence would be out, right along with Trump, because I think that's the crime, is colluding with Russia. Now, I'm not saying that will happen, but if that's what's found, I believe both of them would be gone. And I think if you have a Speaker of the House, Pelosi, I don't think Pelosi would assume the presidency like that. I think she would be more like, I even think Paul Ryan, if he was still there, I think he would say, this is not the way we elect presidents in this country. Because it's the crime. Nixon and Clinton was not changing votes. It's the crime is different.
You're right.
And that's what I think. I think Hillary Clinton would be insane because everybody says she's not going to run again. Well, why wouldn't you take that to the Supreme Court?
Yes, but I do think that any thought that, you know, that she might run turns even people that like her off, because the thought is enough, you know, you've had your chances twice. So, but I understand she might feel that way, but I'm not sure how the nation would react to that if she made an issue of it herself.
To be honest with you, I'm not perfectly sure that she's not going to run either, because people say that, but she wrote a book detailing about why she lost. She's younger than Joe Biden. She's younger than Donald Trump. She's younger than Bernie Sanders. And she, this is a woman, I just don't know if you can stop her.
But would she be the nominee is the issue. Because I'm not sure the Bernie voters who turned off to Hillary would now back us. I'm not sure she could win the White House
in
2020.
I think the Democrats would be smart to run a woman. Now, not just running a woman for a woman's sake, but running a woman who is qualified.
Well, Kamala Harris or Elizabeth Warren or Amy Klobuchar. I'm not too sure about Kirsten Gillibrand because of the way she treated Al Franken. But those are four women that all probably were announced, but I would prefer Klobuchar as the most centrist, but also Warren is certainly good, and Harris also, you know, the California so-called female Barack Obama, she's often called, because she's mixed race, so that she'd be interesting, and she definitely will run. So we will have women running, no question.
Well, I just think it's very interesting. We've got an 8-year first lady who, in the end of her first ladyship, ran for the senator of New York, won 2 terms, left the senatorship to run for president.
Well, first secretary of state. That was her mistake, because that's what got her into trouble. If she hadn't been secretary of state, it might have been better.
Second, then we go to the secretary of state.
Yeah.
Then she ran for president again, and if she finds out that she really did win, and let's say that we go through the normal line of procession and Nancy Pelosi or Paul Ryan becomes president, you think she's just going to sit there for the rest of her life and say, well, I guess that they just didn't let me have it?
Well, I know what she might say in her mind and heart, but whether she would take the step and become controversial by coming out there, I don't know. She's afraid of anything. It's very smart and very courageous. So, yeah, I suppose it's possible. Boy, would that make the election with 20 possible candidates, including the ones I mentioned? Can you imagine what it would be like? It would be the most unheard of election in history as far as constant attention to it in a way that it probably would drive us all crazy.
Well, I just think that the Democratic Party should not rule her out, because we are certainly, by the time this next election starts to ramp up, we are going to know what the results are of this investigation. And if
the next election is going to ramp up in January, by January, right, because that's when people start to announce. Yes.
I think that's the latest the Mueller investigation will come back.
I hope.
So when that happens, irregardless of what happens, I think we're going to have a lot of question.
Yes, and I do think it allows for you and me to discuss this ad infinitum for the next 2 years.
That's exactly right. Not just for the next 4 minutes, but for many, many years
yes.
to come. But
yeah.
So how do you see the next 6 months?
Oh, God. Well, you know, I've been wrong. I thought he would have been out already. I do think the Mueller investigation will show collusion and also obstruction of justice and abuse of power. Also, the emoluments clause that definitely has been violated about his properties and making money, you know, while he's president. And I do think the Democrats will win the House. I don't think they'll win the Senate, however. It's going to be very hard to win the Senate. They have to keep all 10 red state Democrats, and also New Mexico is a problem now because Martin Heinrich, who would have ordinarily had no issue, Gary Johnson, the Libertarian nominee for president in 2016, is running as an independent in New Mexico, making it a 3-way race, so that makes it more difficult. And then they have to win at least 2 or 4 seats in Tennessee, Texas, Arizona, or Nevada. It's an awful lot to expect.
Well, see, this is what's interesting to me, again, when it comes to Hillary Clinton. You've got Mitt Romney, who's a 2-time loser when it comes to president, now running for Senate. You've got Joe Biden, who is a 2-time or 3-time loser.
Yeah, and I'm publishing an article on retreads, as I call them, that have come back. 14 presidents were retreads, and they came back to become president. So we have a group of 14 retreads, in quotes, now, 7 on each side, that could come back and win, theoretically,
well,
yes.
The excuse for Hillary Clinton always is, well, she's lost twice. Well, so has Joe Biden, so has Bernie Sanders, so has Mitt Romney.
Mm-hmm.
But, no, so is John Kasich.
Well, Bernie Sanders only once, actually.
But we don't look at them as losers. but we look at her as a loser. I don't understand that.
And Ronald Reagan was announced in 68, not seriously, but he announced and then withdrew, and 76 he lost to Ford. So he was the third time that he came back, yes.
You know, and all those people...
And Nixon, of course, after losing.
That's right, Nixon lost everything and came back and won. And I just remember people at that Javits Center. Now, were they there just because they were Democrats, or were they there for Hillary Clinton? I don't know.
You mean the Democratic National Committee, you mean?
Yeah, well, the people who showed up on election night who thought she was going to win, all those people who filled the Javits Center in New York, I mean, were they upset because the Democrat didn't win, or were they upset because Hillary Clinton didn't win?
I couldn't really answer that. I would think probably some, just because Hillary are not winning, and others because the party lost. I do think there's an element of the party that doesn't like her and her husband. Her husband's still very controversial. While he's loved by many, he's also disliked by many, Bill Clinton. He is a complex character, no question.
Didn't the list come out again in 2018, most respected women, and she's still number one?
Yes, that's true. Well, because she's a national figure, yes.
But still above Michelle Obama, still above Oprah Winfrey. All these people they talk, and she's still number one. There's some core in this country that likes her.
But whether that core is enough to elect her, finally, I don't know. But I agree, there is an element that says, we want you to go all the way, not give up. So she may, and it will make it much more interesting.
Well, let me say this. If she doesn't run, and she doesn't get the presidency, I think the next president, if it is a Democrat, will put her in the cabinet. I do believe that.
Well, I think probably if she wanted, I would think she should be, but probably not Secretary of State. I'm not sure what she would, not probably the same position, but probably she could be. Maybe Attorney General, how would that be?
Well, she needs to go back to notepad and paper. No more emails.
Yes, you're right.
That was a nightmare. Where 30 seconds, Dr. Feynman, where does Obama go from here?
Well, he's involved in the campaign, but I'm looking forward to the idea that maybe a Democratic president would make him a justice of the Supreme Court, like William Howard Taft was made by Warren G. Harding. As far as running for office, no, his wife's not running for office, but I do think that he will be very engaged in the campaign and that he could be someone back in public position by appointment in the future.
I think he wants to be on the Supreme Court. I'm with you on that one. Dr. Feynman, it's always interesting. Again, you can catch Dr. Feynman every Monday morning at 10 a.m. on Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam Lepp. It's always a pleasure, Dr. Feynman.
Yes, it was wonderful. I had a great time. Thanks so much.
We'll be back in 10 minutes with Larry Merchant.
Today, I'm going to leave it up to all of you to ask questions.